Safety, I feel, is really what I call disarming the bomb. We have situations that happen in everybody's workplace. How do you disarm the bomb? Do you see the thing that's getting ready to happen, and how do you disarm that and then save the day?
Welcome to Speaking Insurance, a weekly podcast where we talk with successful insurance and risk management professionals to gain some insight into their success and talk about the topics that are relevant to you. This is Speaking Insurance. Robert Cartwright Jr. has more than 35 years of experience in risk management. He's the safety manager at Bridgestone Retail Operations. He's also actively involved with the Risk and Insurance Management Society, also known as RIMS, currently serving on the RIMS Board of Directors. This interview was recorded at the RIMS 2016 Annual Conference in San Diego. So how did you get into the risk management field?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. My career really started in HR, and I oversaw a plant operations in Philadelphia. And by extension, I had to oversee the production lines as well. So my overall responsibilities, even in HR, dealt with dealing with injuries, the insurances, and any safety issues that happen as a result of that. We got hit with a $16,000 fine by OSHA, and this was back in the early 80s. Big deal. Had no idea what OSHA was about. And he said, well, you got to handle it. And so I had to educate myself as so far as what all this was and what it was about. And as a result of that, I was trying to find out what else was going on, and I heard about risk management. And okay, but risk management to me was insurance buying or an insurance person. And that was a new word and a new lexicon, and the risk was transitioning from strictly insurance into managing the pratfalls or anything that can happen with a company. And so when I left there and I came to my current company and I took over their workers' comp program, and it was the same thing. So I was looking for more information. So I was seeking an organization that could give me that information, and that's how I got involved with RIMS.
So how does safety fall into risk management? Is it a subset? Is it part of it? Is it equal?
That's a very interesting question, because part of the perception is that risk management is strictly an insurance deal. But in reality, it's a multifaceted. It's maybe 20, 27 different definitions of a risk manager under one umbrella. So there's elements of risk. And risk is really defined as what is the issue in your company that's going to cause it to not operate at its full potential. So it could be safety. It could be IT. It could be HR. So depending on what it is, those are the elements that are there. And all of them are really equal depending on the company. If you have a company that's running quite well and they have an accident or something that happens, and it's a very costly accident, guess what's going to be at the top of the food chain? They're going to know why did this happen, and why it happened has to do with maybe a safety issue, or maybe it's a training issue, or maybe it's education. So there's all different facets of that.
So when I think of safety, I think of the human element, taking care of other people. When you think of safety, does that come to mind? What is safety to you?
Safety, I feel, is really basically saying that we want you to go home in the same condition that you came in. Which means operationally, do we have the right tools for you to use? Have we provided the right training for you to have? And within the training that you have we provided you the opportunity to tell us as management, are we doing it the right way? The investigation side of safety is when something happens, it's not a finger pointing and saying, well, you had this claim or you had this incident. It's going into root cause to identify why it happened to begin with. Once you identify why, now the why gets you to corrective action. Corrective action now includes other departments. It includes maybe HR, because we may need to look at it from a human resource perspective. We need to go with the finance group to say, well, we need more funds for this particular level of equipment. It goes into the education department, because those are the folks who are doing the initial training when we're hiring people. And so now we're saying, how is all that work? And then it goes all the way up to the C-suite, because here's the element of risk. We're having X amount of incidents, not focusing on the dollars. We're having X amount of incidents. Why are those incidents happening, and how is that affecting our bottom line? It's affecting us from a production standpoint, from a personal endpoint, from people, because when they get hurt, they're taken out of their element. They can't get back to what they used to do, and then you're shorthanded, and so there's a domino effect. So safety has a very big part in a company's operations, and if they're not operating safe, then you're trying to recover your losses based on the fact that you've had whatever incidents that have happened, and that's not a good product. That's not a good ROI for any company.
So how long have you been in the risk management universe?
Okay, so risk management universe, as it's defined today, I would say probably close to 35 years. If you remember, human resources was called personnel. So when you're in the personnel department, people didn't think of that as anything more than just, okay, you're hiring somebody. And then it morphed into human resources, which was human capital, we call that today. So I've been in this space for quite some time, and I've seen a lot of changes over those 35 years. In those 35 years, I've seen it where an isolated situation or something that could be remotely looked at as, well, that happened over there, and that doesn't affect us as a company, to saying, well, it happened in that company, and it's going to affect us. So it becomes now more universal. I see where risk management and safety and all those elements are all part of a business operation. We're global now. And so any company that has any operations, and most folks who are coming to this conference have multi-state jurisdictions. So now you've got multiple disciplines that you have to look at as to how the state applies it. From a global standpoint, if you have global operations, you know, the impact of the issues that are happening in one country is going to affect the operations of the business overall. So you need to learn all of that. I see that there's much more inclusiveness. So now you can find information a lot quicker. You know, we'll put a plug in for RIMS in the sense that they've got all the information through their platform and through their dashboard. There's so much that's out there. And then when you come to this kind of a conference, now you're networking with those persons face to face. And now you're getting a much more different perspective. I remember when I first started this years ago, and it was like, I had no resource. I had nowhere to go. And so I have this problem that I had to handle, and I had to find where I can get resources from. Now you have all these blogs, you have forums, you have the opportunity to say, hey, are you having this problem elsewhere? And someone else is saying to you, yeah, I'm having this, and this is how I solve it. So the speed of technology allows risk management to become much more viable. Plus, it's part of the lexicon of the CEOs and the CFOs and the C-suites of the world. Because they understand that risk management is not just insurance. It's the issues that face and threaten the operations of our daily operations of our company.
So tell me about your experience with RIMS.
Okay. When I was looking for a venue to find out where to get this information from, I joined a local chapter, a Delaware Valley chapter. And the chapter was a small group, but there was like some folks there that, you know, I was talking to. And so the problem that, well, here's the definition. A person becomes a risk manager when they ask the question, why are we doing things this way? That's how they become a risk manager. And I learned that the hard way. So I asked, well, why are we doing things this way? Because I'm very organizationally minded. And like, oh, that sounds great, Robert. How about if you help us out doing this? And so then I started getting involved with the chapter and started doing things on the officer level. And then I went through, you know, the different officer roles, becoming president. My goal as the president was to create more visibility for the chapter and to get more membership involved. And I gave them my goal. I said, once we reach 100 in attendance at our meeting, I'm out. You know, I'm going. And we had one of our meetings was a standing room only meeting, which blew everybody away. And I'm standing in the back with the vice president. I said, look at this. Can you imagine? We finally got it to this point. And so at their next board meeting, I says, well, you know what? I'm going. The secretary says, well, it looked like it was 100, but it was really only 98 because you have to stay on. So that became part of the thing of building something. And we built that. And so as I started to get involved with that, I started to learn about the different committees that were involved with RIMS. And, I like to, I'm a history of politics. I'm a history of the political things and things that go in that way. So I got involved with the External Affairs Committee. And met a couple individuals at one of the functions, and they said, hey, you know, you really should think about doing this. And I'm like, okay, why? And so they said, well, they tried to explain that. So then why are we doing it that way? Again, ask that same stupid question again. Well, you probably needed to find out and come to one of the meetings. And so then I got hooked on that. So moving through the External Affairs Committee, serving as a chapter, the chapter started getting awards, recognitions, what RIMS gives out. And I just enjoyed it, the networking, and then coming to the sessions, coming to the conferences. And then one of the challenges that we had in our chapter was how are we engaging the next generation? Because in my opinion, I felt that knowledge transfer was very important. You need to be able to say from a risk manager, how are you training the next group that's coming in? Because sometimes you have that gap. And if you don't have continuity, then you can fall off. And so that was one of the goals that we had. So coming to the conference allowed me to do that, and I got involved with other committees as well. And then when I felt that I was all said and done, I got a phone call that says, hey, you know, they'd like for you to be on the board. And I'm like, okay, sure. And so I've been on the board now and been able to see how things work behind the scenes. And I see where I can lend even more of an impact. So what RIMS has done for me, I've had mentors in my life, people who've watched me from a distance and said, you know, you should really look at this guy here. And so I'm paying that forward. So I'm looking out for different folks and saying, hey, you know what? Have you ever thought about doing this? Speaking to the students here, we had like a student networking luncheon. And they wanted to know, how do we become a risk manager? Because a lot of their jobs are in actuary or finance as soon as they come out of school. I said, well, that's great. Learn your business. Learn what goes on in your company. And then ask the question, why are you really doing it this way? When you ask that question, the person that you're working for is going to say, well, how would you do it differently? That's how you become a risk manager, because then you're going to have the answers and then you're going to have the resources because what you've learned at the conference and the things that happen that way.
What do you feel like is your biggest success in risk management?
Wow. I think my biggest success is being able to provide an answer to the solution. Most times risk managers are faced with the challenges of trying to figure out how to solve the problem. And that's the biggest challenge. It's also the biggest opportunity, but it's also the most exciting thing in the world when you're able to do that. It's a great accomplishment. And I like the training side of it. So when I'm teaching people or I'm explaining different things to them and I can see that they get this aha moment where it's like, oh, okay, now I got it. That's the satisfaction for me. So it's paying it forward. And I explained to the group yesterday, I learned on the fly a lot of things that I had to do as a risk manager. You have the opportunity to go up to someone in this conference and say, well, how did you do it? How did you overcome it? And then with technology, we do things faster today anyway. So I'll age myself by saying, you know, from the old mimeograph and the old facsimile, you know, where you were sending things over to now where you can text in information and send this out instantaneously and, you know, Instagram, Twitter. I mean, we've got so much with social media. All of those tools now help to expedite and connect you in a worldwide sense.
So you've kind of touched on this, but what excites you about risk management?
What excites me about risk management and then safety in particular, because that's what I do, is what I call disarming the bomb. So we have situations that happen, and everybody's workplace, they have a situation that happens. How do you disarm the bomb? Do you see the thing that's getting ready to happen, and how do you disarm that and then save the day? Because safety is kind of like an unrecognized position, but it's vital when something happens. So when a situation happens and now everybody's all up in arms, you're the person that has to say, I got to slow it down. This is how we do this, but you need to prepare yourself ahead of time. So for me, anytime that we have a situation, that's the challenge for me, and it always happens when you think you have everything covered. And so now you have to pull all your resources together. The other thing is, I like to learn as much as I can from a historical standpoint, either about a company or organization, because history is trends is culture, and understanding the culture enables you to figure out how you can navigate through those things and decide how you're going to resolve the problem. Because even though you may have the best answer, you may not have the best audience. And you'll run into a brick wall, and that could be very frustrating. And you have to understand that their risk management takes time. You know, finance is instantaneous. People can see the results at the bottom line very quickly. You can't see that a lot in risk management, so you have to have the patience to be a risk manager. But the reward at the end, when they say, hey, you know what, you were able to save our bacon, so to speak, you know, that's the reward.
Anything else in closing?
I would say that just from putting the importance of safety now, it's becoming more and more of a concern for companies and organizations. They're putting more resources into it. OSHA is putting much more resources into it. I mean, they just upped their fines now from like the max of $75,000 up to $112,000 now. They're also looking to do even more to that because the regulation of safety has become, with technology, things are speeding up, and the transition of the managers who were there, and now you got the next group that's coming in that didn't know the history of what happened there. We're having the same problems that we had back in the 80s. We're having the same lack of focus. We're having the same lack of training and concentration. So as technology increases, you need to bring the standardization of how you do things. And so I feel that safety is going to be a very big part of business operations. And we don't have a certified chief safety officer. You know, the COO position came in a few years ago. The CRO, chief risk officer, came in. I would really like to see a chief safety officer being someone who's in that C-suite of operations for an organization rather than falling under, because safety falls under different umbrellas depending on the company. Sometimes it falls under IT, it could fall under HR, it could fall under finance, or operations even. So I think that, as time goes on, once we get to that point and people understand that safety is not a hindrance, safety is a protection. If you run a safe operation, then you're going to be profitable. And the bottom line is, you hire people for their talent and their ability and their experience. You bring them in. Let them go home the same way that they came in. You bring them in and they're safe. Let's make sure they go home safe.
All right, thank you, Robert. To find more resources on risk management, including designation programs and educational opportunities, visit thenationalalliance.com. To comment on today's podcast, visit the National Alliance on LinkedIn. And you can also find Speaking Insurance Podcasts on iTunes and subscribe. This is Speaking Insurance.